in studio now. I have Cormac Moore, historian in residence with the Dublin City Libraries, the north central area. Good afternoon to you, Cormac.
Good afternoon, all. Very good.
Okay, now we're going to talk about these essays, the six of them on in the local public libraries. Tell us what's going on before I make any more mess.
Yeah, it's not something that's going on. It's something that you actually, everyone can pick up a copy. It's a book. We did our first volume last year, and it was such a success. It had to be reprinted. They're gone out of the libraries before you could say boo, and so it had to be reprinted. So we decided to the six historians in residence of Dublin City Council. We decided to continue that project this year. So this is volume two of History on Your Doorstep, and it's six essays of Dublin history by us, the six historians in residence. So myself, Maeve Casterly, Cathy Scuffle, James Curry, Bernard Kelly, and Mary Muldowney. So we've written six. It's not too difficult to read. They're all kind of bite-sized stories. But
are they all related to the north side of the city, or is it all over?
Well, it's the Dublin City Council area.
Okay.
So it wouldn't all be north side, because obviously you have a like St Ulton's Hospital and Charlemagne Place. You know, that's one of the essays that Maeve wrote. Then Cathy Scuffle has an essay on one of the first housing schemes. Housing schemes kind of were from 1919 to 1921, which obviously was a very testing time in Irish history. But it was approved, and it was a big campaign, particularly by Alderman Thomas Kelly. He was a Sinn Féin councillor, and there was a housing scheme built in Spitalfields, Fairbrothers, St James's, Walk, McCaffrey's, all kind of inner South City. It was a very successful housing scheme. So some ancestors are still living in those houses. So Cathy's written an essay on that, which is obviously very relevant today, considering the housing crisis we face. Mary Muldowney has looked at the different workplaces, kind of forgotten workplaces. Like I live very close to Smithfield, and that was a thriving cattle market and busiest in Europe at the time. And she looks at Jacob's biscuit factory. She looks at the Docklands. You know, so there's a lot of kind of almost forgotten workplaces and how they've changed over the years. Mm-hmm. James Curry looks at the very famous musician Seamus Ennis. He was actually born 100 years ago this year. So there's been a lot of events to mark his centenary of his birth. Famous traditional musician. He's considered the Ardrí, the High King of traditional music by many people. Broadcaster, singer, musician. So there's a great essay on his life. He was originally from Finglas, that's where he was born, and there's been a lot of events in Finglas to mark his 100th anniversary of his birth. And Bernard Kelly looks at Dublin Corporation and its role in the War of Independence. It's often forgotten that it was the whole War of Independence wasn't just a military war. It also, a counter-state was created as well with Dáil Éireann. And in 1920, Sinn Féin replicated its success in the 1918 general election by actually taking over most of the local authorities in Ireland, including Dublin Corporation. So Dublin Corporation used to be the home of kind of the Irish Party, but by 1920 it became a Sinn Féin place. Mm-hmm. So after that, there was raids, there was a lot of attacks on Dublin Corporation by the British authorities as it took the side of Sinn Féin and the IRA during its campaign. So Bernard's written an essay on the corporation's role. And then finally, my essay is on lemon sweets, which I've spoken to you about before.
Okay. Can I just go back to the first one? What was the first one again?
St. Ulton's Hospital, Dr. Kathleen Lynn. So it was kind of a hospital set up by women, for women and children. So it was a very successful hospital until 1984.
Okay.
Around Charlemagne Place, near Harcourt Street.
Okay. And that's closed now?
Yeah, it merged with the National Children's Hospital there in the 80s. But it itself is closed, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because I was just thinking, I know I'd heard the word hospital at the beginning. I was just saying to myself, there's so many hospitals that are closed. Bagot Street and the one there where you can get married. I can't think of it at the moment. But there's quite a lot of hospitals there that have closed there. Now, we particularly pick on that one.
It just shows the kind of the huge success of women like Dr. Kathleen Lynn, and she set up this hospital with her partner, and it was extremely successful. Like, there was a lot of the initiatives for the state when it came to TB originated from St. Ulton's Hospital. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge success story for many decades in Ireland. So
And the books are they're going to be available again?
They're available now. Okay. Yeah,
so they're sort of tabletop and easy
read. Oh, very easy read. Yeah. Like most essays are about 3,000 words, so you know it's not cumbersome. And they're all free. You know, pick up a copy. I've got a copy for you, Noel.
Darrow, thank you very much. I'm an avid reader.
And it's wonderful, lad. It's wonderful illustrations as well. Loads of great images, all mainly from Dublin City Archives. Which are all online. You can view all most of those images free anyway. There's some great pictures to accompany each chapter. It's a lovely publication, I must say. Look, it's turned out really well.
I was just going about to say that, making a lovely Christmas present, but
well, yeah. Don't tell people you got it for free.
That's right. Yeah. I've been keeping a secret from here.
Exactly.
From here now.
Yeah.
And a lot of research goes into a lot of these things, so a lot of work went in. And congratulations to the six people involved.
Like I've been researching lemon sweets now for the good part of 6 months. You know, so I've really found out it's such an institution of Irish confectionery history. And it's a wonderful story. The whole Graham Lemon story from 1842 up until the close in 1983. Mm-hmm. It's such a big part of Dublin history. And the same with all of the essays. You know, they're such a big part of Dublin history. So I think people will really enjoy all the essays. And as I said, it's free. You know, go to your library. Like all the Dublin City libraries offer so much for free, including these wonderful publications.
Okay, and the housing could be quite relevant when you think about today.
If you read Cathy's chapter on this housing scheme, and there was a lot less money back in 1921, like significantly less, and they were really good houses that were built, public houses. And then there was a housing, the first Free State government built the kind of Merino housing estate as well in 1924. It just beggar belief sometimes, why can't it be done now?
Well, I mean, you hear lots of people talk about the good old days to the extent that they were bad old days to another extent, but at the same time, they seem to have more money to spend, though we hadn't.
They didn't have more money to spend, but they prioritised spending it on public housing. Look at here in Coolock.
They didn't buy huge printing machines
for 1.6 million, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. For the interesting thing about the mall as well, in a way, I find the housing linked up a little bit maybe with the Dublin Corporation.
Yeah.
And maybe the
both
of them worked that way.
The funding actually came from the British Treasury, through the local government board.
Okay.
So the Merino housing scheme probably is the first Irish Free State funded housing scheme. It was a decision made by Alderman Tom Kelly. He was the one who really pushed for this. Because a lot of tenements were just they were becoming uninhabitable, and they had to do something about housing. So it took a while. The First World War, this had been talked about in the early 1910s, and it took a while to get funding. So it was only realised in 1919, mm-hmm. kind of that kind of period. But it was very successful. Like some lovely houses as well, houses that have retained and increased their value significantly since then. That Mary's obviously article as well is linked in as well with working working people, and she talks a bit about their housing as well. Some employers contributed towards housing, there's a lot of links with the stories. So there's
absolutely fabulous. And then of course, as I said before, I mean you've selected Seamus Ennis, and as regards the workplaces that you mentioned as well, I mean you mentioned Jacobs for instance.
Yeah.
I mean. Even your one, the Lemon Sweets.
Yeah.
All these places were, massive employment for lots and lots of people.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And sort of as well known as any part of, Guinness's.
Yeah, of course. And Lemon's actually, and Jacobs as well, they employed a lot of women too. They were one of few places where, there would be significant numbers of women employed, more in confectionery companies and business mm-hmm. companies like Jacobs and Lemon's.
If I was to ask, in the research that you did, for instance, in Lemon Sweets, was there anything in across of that where you said, "Wow, that surprised me"? Now,
I've given this talk about lemons about 10 times, and most times I give it to someone who's either worked in the Drumcondra factory, or even I've spoke to the grandson and son of the two MDs, their father and son, and the grandson of the Thomas Tate. So he gave me his history. I spoke to sales reps. There's a few interesting things. I suppose there's one that kind of sticks out. There's a picture I have in this booklet as well, of of O'Connell Street in 1963. He's a great picture with a woman in a yellow dress, and she's accompanying a nun. And in the background, you see lemons in O'Connell Street. It's a beautiful picture of O'Connell Street.
Mm.
And I gave the talk once in Clontarf, and a woman comes up to me at the end, and she says, I'm that woman in the yellow dress.
Really?
And at the time, she was in actually Clontarf Holy Faith School. And at the time, nuns could not go unaccompanied into the city. So she had relatives in Greystones, and the nun she was with was her teacher, who wanted to go to Greystones with her. So they went to from Clontarf to O'Connell Street to go to Greystones. And that was her in the picture from 1963. She hadn't seen the picture before, and it brought back wonderful memories of the teacher, of her her mother had bought, she was 17 at the time, her mother had bought a yellow dress for her only days beforehand. And it just brought back wonderful memories. So to me, that was just a wonderful moment. You know,
I'm just thinking as well, the sort of yellow dress, lemon, sort of, you know, is that cool?
Open it up there. It's a wonderful picture. I'll show it to you.
No, I'm just thinking in relation to lemon.
For anyone who gets the book, they'll see this picture. It's a striking picture of O'Connell Street. And particularly the nun's outfit and the woman in the yellow dress. You know, it's just a stunning picture.
Okay. Oh, there it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrific.
Yeah. So obviously the listeners can't see the picture now, but if you pick up a free copy of the book, you'll find it.
Okay, and I'm going to put out, there's a guy there with a ladder, looks like he's a window cleaner.
Yeah, he looks very happy as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a happy window cleaner. Yeah. You don't see many of them going around now either. And Cafol is there as well. Jesus, I'm looking forward to reading this. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I'm sure that they found it as well, maybe you found it as well with lemons, and regards the workplace, there was a lot of succession, as you'd call it, like families.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like dockers,
yeah.
Princes, like a whole generation maybe just walked their way through in the lemons.
I've met a sales rep. He actually took over from his dad as a sales rep. And as I said, I met the son of one of the last MDs before Lemons was bought out, and he took over from his dad, Tate's. And before that, the actual company was run by the Lemons family. So the guy who founded it, Graham Lemon, came from Armagh originally. His son took over when he died, Thomas Owens Lemons, and then it was taken over by the Tate. So yeah, there's huge stories of succession. And if you were living in Drumcondra, you know, particularly if you're a youngish girl, you know, that would be the place to look for employment. And one thing that did was revealing to me when I met people who've worked there, that they seem to really enjoy the place. You know, it seemed to be a great place to work, and they all miss it terribly. So.
Yeah, I think it was all to do with, I mean, I remember I worked as a kid in the swastika laundry.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know, yeah.
Over there in near Balls Bridge, and that was the same.
What a name, huh?
Everything, yeah. At the time, I mean, it had no relevance to me as a kid at the time. It was only afterwards when people used to talk about the emblem on it and the electric vans going around.
Yeah.
And you think about electric vans, how far ahead were they now?
Yeah.
Anything else striking about your research that you found out?
I mean, well, there's loads. Like, if you read the story, it's just a great story. One of the things that a lot of people weren't aware of, if you there's a street off Grafton Street called Lemon Street. It's still called Lemon Street, and it's actually named after Graham Lemon. It used to be called Little Grafton Street, but he bought a lot of the property there. And in 1871, it was actually named Lemon Street, even when he was alive as well. So, you know, that was pretty, just shows the significance of the man in Dublin at the time, you know, that he actually had a street named after him whilst he was still alive. So, you know, that was pretty interesting.
And the photographs in it, for instance, the one you have there, where would you have gotten that out of? Newspaper?
That was National Library. Most of them are from Dublin City Archives. The actual, you go online to Dublin City Libraries and you will see a link to all of digital images, and you'll see loads of great images of Dublin going back years and years.
Okay.
So we would have got the vast bulk of those images are from Dublin City Library.
Absolutely great. I'm looking forward really, Cormac, to reading this. I'll put down the book I'm reading at the moment and put it aside.
You mean put down Birth of the Border?
That's great. Okay, it's terrific anyway, and it's in reprint, as you say, and available free.
Yes, just go to any Dublin City Libraries, Dublin City Council Libraries, you'll be able to pick up a copy free.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't pick it up for yourself, pick it up for your kids. We need to know the proper history that we have there. And that. Anything else before I let you go, Cormac?
No, that's the main thing, yeah.
Okay, well, I hope to see you before the big day comes, and it'll be over in 4 weeks' time. I like to say that because I'm not mad about Christmas, that's all I can say. You'll be dug into the toy show tonight, will you?
I'd probably have a look at it, all right. Oh, yeah. It does bring back good memories of childhood, I must say.
It used to for me, I have to say, I'm just looking at it so much. And to me, to be critical now, it's like, to me, it's not the toy show anymore. It's the Ryan Tuberty show, and it's all about him. And that's,
do you miss Gay Byrne, do you?
Yeah. Nothing to do with that. I think that they were always, even Pat Kenny, they were in the background. But to me, it's about Tuberty. He makes it about himself, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
fair enough. Yeah. Even, obviously, there's going to be a lot about Gabe Byrne, I presume, tonight. You know.
So
that's my memory as a kid. He's watching Gabe with these ridiculous jumpers. You know.
So. And he was funny as well.
He was actually. He was an unbelievable broadcaster. You know, okay, the best there ever's been.
Okay, well, we'll have a look at that tonight, and maybe together, just out of curiosity, just for that. But anyway, thanks very much, Cormac.
Thank you.
And that book is available, History on Your Doorstep, which it is, and if you want to know the history and the way things were, and better, though we supposedly had little, but how better off we were at the time, as we were talking about there about the hospitals. I mean, there was hospital in every corner at the time. That's what amazes me about it, as memory as a kid, and all that sort of thing. So it's just... it's just weird the way things come.